The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock, 5 a.m., and time for Back of the Book.
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I think it's about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all. It's beginning to sound a lot like Isaac Newton's birthday all around the universe. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here. You can find out a little bit more about these things by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. The top of that, it says latest Back of the Book program links. And click on that, and you will get to the web page for this morning's radio program. We do a new web page for each radio program. And this is our 158th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several different galaxy clusters of this week is... We are holding at 122 followers on Twitter or X or whatever it's called right now. Huge, gigantic number. People are amazed in those other galaxies at this. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held this Wednesday, December 13th at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. That will be the first meeting of the 13th WBAI local station board. And let's hope that's not an unlucky 13. It might be a wild time given some of the things that people are saying on the LSB mailing list and the fact that we're going to get a lot of new people on the local station board. I bet you they haven't all read the bylaws or even know what the hell's going on with the local station board. Oh, well, we'll see how it goes. And I guess the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has just given up. Their CDC website isn't putting out any information on the death toll from the COVID-19 pandemic anymore. We know that people are still dying from COVID-19. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've gotten our new shots. We don't want to get this disease. We also got our flu shots. And we have a program note. We are hoping that this is going to be the final time that we have to record this program in our bedroom instead of the living room, our fabulous studio in the living room. We're still experiencing difficulty with the printer, but we think this week we'll get it all done. We hope. I don't want to buy a new printer. And also, another program note. We are preempted next week for a fundraising special. We are scheduled to be back on the air with a program at 5 o'clock on Saturday morning, December 23rd. Yes, just 2 days before Isaac Newton's birthday. So we'll be back here in 2 weeks from now.
Well, Harpal, funny you should mention the number 13 and it's being lucky or unlucky, depending on which culture you've grown up in. I was looking through my books the other day, and I found a book I'd forgotten I had, A Dictionary of Superstitions. Oh, it's such a good book. I believe, dear.
Is it the Bible?
It's the Bible of Superstition. It's, oh, the Bible. Well, you know, this one is probably a tad more lighthearted than the Bible, although not by much. From the Ridiculous to the Sublime, and it's actually a French book that is translated. I think it came out in the 80s, but yes, our dear rat girl gifted me with a used book. And this was the used book, and boy, it is a good used book. A Dictionary of Superstitions. So a lot of the superstitions, of course, are from France. I think the authors are Sophie Lazon and André-Pascal Gaultier. So that's pretty French. And they're divided into many categories: minerals, plants, parts of the body, things that happen to parts of the body. I mean, it really is a little dictionary, and I just wanted to read a couple of excerpts from it, because even though these superstitions date from, I guess, the Middle Ages and possibly earlier, golly, some of them still be around today. The first one is in the chapter about the human body, and it's entitled Epidemics. Contagious illnesses that manifest themselves in murderous epidemics have always been considered as scourges sent by God to punish man for his sins. In order to protect yourself from contagion, it is necessary to eat garlic and wear around your neck a little sachet containing dead spiders. Plague and cholera immediately attacked those who had the impudence to eat in a cemetery.
Aha! Uh-huh. Well, now we know how plague and cholera work.
Oh, boy. In England, a piece of raw meat was believed to turn black in a few seconds when it came in contact with air from a house where cholera was going to strike. Ah, the power, the futuristic power of meat. Yes. To treat this illness, it is recommended that you spend a night in a cemetery, but, of course, not eating.
Oh, you know. God. Well, you know, I guess they just had no idea what was going on, and it's like today with the conspiracy hoaxes that are all over the place, and, you know, same damn thing.
Well, it is a way of understanding the world. However, if some of this is 500 years old or older, perhaps not the best way of understanding how the world operates today. In France, people wore little talismans of red clay called plague stones. on their chests in order to protect themselves from the plague. To cure this illness, it is necessary to apply a toad to the first part of the body afflicted and let the animal die on this spot. When it is thrown away, it will take the illness with it.
Gee, I wonder how well that worked. Oh, man. The poor toads.
I know. How do you keep a toad on? Well, never mind. Here's a little section from the plant superstitions. Mandrake. Oh, I love this. Now, if any of you, dear listeners, have either read the Harry Potter books or seen the films, you know that mandrake is one of the things that the kids learn about at Hogwarts. And the mandrakes, you know, squeal when they get pulled out of the earth. But there is a lot of information that was left out about the mandrake in that movie and book because, well, it wouldn't be for general audiences. Let's put it that way. Mandrake. For botanist, Mandragora officinarum L. is a solanaceous plant, and that just means it's part of the nightshade family. Like potatoes, characterized by the toxicity of its tubercle, and fruits that can, however, be used in very small doses. I'd like to say that I've never had a small dose of potatoes.
Well, the potatoes really can be poisonous, you know. I mean, the skins of potatoes are, you know, they're not something you should eat, but people eat them anyway. They're not like monstrously drop dead instantly poisonous, but it's not good for you. But, you know, people eat them. What the hell?
They're delicious.
And you got to cook them.
They're delicious.
You eat a raw potato and it's really bad for you.
Well, no, you're not going to eat it raw. All right. Now, they have things called tubercles, which is not the actual potato. It's kind of like a bump that grows on the plant. Okay. The fruits, however, can be used in very small doses. Its berries have always had a reputation for being aphrodisiacs, but its tubercle, that can take on a vaguely human form. It has greatly inspired magicians, alchemists, and sorcerers. The French name Madrigore gave rise to the deformation Main de Gloire, Hand of Glory, with multiple powers, and the radical man is found in the German and English names for this plant. Circe and other magicians know all the powers of this plant that are magical as well as erotic. Mandrakes are sexed. A male can be recognized by its white color and a female by its blackness. Both have the same powers and assure wealth, power, fertility, and knowledge of the future to their owners. Mandrake is the little man of the earth who was born under gallows from a criminal's last ejaculation, preferably a virgin.
I can see why this stuff didn't make it into the Harry Potter movies.
Only magicians know how to uncover it and know that its gathering is a dangerous operation. A mandrake cries, retracts, and demolishes itself when someone tries to pull it up. Whoever is imprudent enough to attempt this operation will be made blind and insane by a bolt of lightning. Ooh, this is some rough gardening here.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
In order to pull the little man out of the ground, you must go to a gallows at midnight on a Friday, accompanied by a black dog. Tie the mandrake root to the dog's paw, then call the animal. The dog will be struck dead when pulling out the plant.
Oh, some lucky dog.
Oh, dear. Other magicians specify that this operation must be carried out in bare feet and that the magical place must be protected with squares, circles, and seals and by perfumes determined by the dominating stars. It is also good to cut an owl's throat and pull up the mandrake by seizing it with the end of a shroud. During this extraction, ghosts are lying in wait, ready to devour whoever makes a mistake during the ritual or came for dishonest reasons, such as for the taste of wealth. Once it is pulled up, the root must be placed on a bed of red soil. Any green leaves that are attached must be cut off and a red berry placed on it for a mouth and two juniper fruits placed on it for eyes. It is kept like this in a glass jar that is exposed to the sun and that you must not take your eyes off of. Each day it must be watered with human blood. At the end of 3 days, it begins to palpitate, its eyes and mouth open, and in 4 days, it attains the adult stage and can be utilized. It can speak and foretell the future, double its owner's wealth, open all doors for him, even those that were bolted, and make his wife fertile, even if she was sterile beforehand. Upon the death of its owner, a mandrake goes to its master's youngest son and obeys him on the condition that he respected the last wishes of the deceased. Some believe that after having pulled up a mandrake root, it was necessary to let it rest at the bottom of a grave in a cemetery for 30 days, and that it was there that it came to life. A dried mandrake root is worn as a talisman in a little sachet worn around the neck, much like the spiders. Placed under the sign of Saturn, it favors its possessor and brings him fertility and wealth. Mandrake extract mixed with that of wine dregs, henbane, poppy, and a little musk, then poured over an apple, plunges whoever eats it into a deep sleep. Arpa, we may want to try this. A bestiary of the Middle Ages tells us that elephants mate after eating mandrake. So there you have it. All your mandrake growing needs met.
Yeah, I can see why some of this didn't get into the into the Harry Potter movies. So when a virgin is hanged, you go to where he was hanged and you dig up the mandrake, which is caused by his semen squirting out as he dies, which apparently is something that happens, if you're young enough. And you get hanged, spontaneous orgasm. It's a tough way to go. I remember Naked Lunch, I think it was, by Burroughs, talked about that a lot. And I was like, oh, my God, was this. I had never heard of it before I read Burroughs' Naked Lunch. And, of course, that was quite a book in and of itself in those days. And it was... it was actually, I think, banned in some places for a while before the Supreme Court let everything come out. But let's get some mandrake and do all those terrible things. I mean, the poor dog, tie it to a dog and call the dog over so the dog pulls it out of the ground and drops dead.
You have to be really dedicated in order to obtaining and growing a proper mandrake. God, there's a lot of sacrifice involved.
Yeah.
I'm doing this.
Boy, I don't think I'm going to grow any of those things. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. And there are just a couple of days left of these depressingly early sunsets. The sun will set today, Saturday, December 9th at 4:28 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the sunsets will begin to go in the opposite direction. Imperceptibly at first, but they'll get there. Yeah, eventually the sun will set at 8:31 p.m. at night in late June and early July. Much better than these 4:28 deals here. God, 4 hours and change difference in sunset times. What kind of a world is this? Anyway, that's going to happen. And, you got various places saying, getting different times for, is it 4:29 or 4:28? And I'll tell you, I get my times for these things from the United States Naval Observatory, which has been doing this for a long time. And I have to say, I wonder where some of these TV stations get their information about this from, because I don't know, maybe the companies they get it from put the times off like a minute or so just to say, oh, see, we do it better than the government because we're doing it differently. Because otherwise the TV stations and other places that look for the sunset times, they would just go to the absolutely free United States Naval Observatory website and get their information there rather than paying the company to do it for them. But anyway, that's what we have, and we're going to start getting sunsets that go later in another couple of days. And, of course, the solstice is coming up. The winter solstice will occur on December 21st, 2023 at 10:27 p.m. Eastern Time. So that's this coming Thursday. Not this coming Thursday. A week from Thursday, it will be the 21st of December, and that will be the solstice at 10:27 p.m. So, oh boy, that'll be some time. And at that point, the sun is farthest south. It's over the Tropic of Capricorn, and then it will begin to travel north. From a geocentric viewpoint, on the other hand, the Earth will just move farther in its orbit, and the tilt of the Earth will manage to make the sun seem to come back better. But people sometimes ask, well, how come the earliest sunsets are now, but we got another almost 2 weeks before the solstice happens and we have the longest night of the year? Well, the reason for this is clocks. We set everything up by clocks. Now, if we were doing by local time, you would also see that noon is really the middle of the day, and midnight is the middle of the night, because you would have the same amount of time before and after noon when it was light out, within, you know, a minute or so. And you don't get that because we go by clocks, and we're really a little farther off from where the clocks are fixed to be than the clocks are. So the clock says it's one time, but if you look, go by the sun time, it's a different time. So because we use clocks, that means that latest sunsets are happening this way, and the longest nighttime will come days later. Also, the latest sun rises of the year don't happen until January, again, because of the way we do with stuff with clocks and all of that. It's all very strange stuff. Anyway, so we have the solstice coming in at the 21st at 10:27. I have a chart of the seasons up on my website. It also shows sub-seasons. That's why I talk about the fact that we are not in winter, not right now. Just because it's December doesn't mean it's winter. Right now, it is late autumn. And again, winter starts on the 21st. And so far, we have seen some really nice December twilights. We saw one the other day where it was cloudy, but it was like an overcast, but it wasn't that thick an overcast. And the whole sky was a kind of reddish. I've never seen that kind of exact December twilight before. And we've seen a couple of other December twilights that were very nice this year so far. I urge you to look. The sun is setting again at like, you know, 4:28, 4:29. I urge you to look out the window or look up at the sky or something when you're out or in the house looking out a window, and look out right after sunset, and maybe a couple of minutes after sunset, and you will see the December twilight. Sometimes they are really beautiful looking, and it's worth taking a look at it. I strongly urge everybody to take a look at that. And, of course, we have to mention that Isaac Newton's birthday is on December 25th, and yes, everybody celebrates Isaac Newton's birthday, and we all obey his laws of gravitation at all times. So, yep, we're going to We're going to be on before December 25th, and we'll be talking more about Isaac Newton and all of that stuff then. It was 43 years ago yesterday that John Lennon was assassinated by a jackass in front of the Dakota. And, oh boy, we all remember things about that time. I remember that night because I was in Manhattan and studying something. And I didn't know it was happening in real time. I saw it on the news when I got home later that night. And the thing is, in my class was a guy who was a producer for Channel 7 Eyewitness News. And he happened to be, you know, we were up by that area. He happened to be walking along on 72nd Street, and he saw all this stuff happening, and he got the story right there. And, of course, he immediately calls in to the news and say, and they listen to him. He says, yeah, hi, I'm the boss. And we got this thing going on, and they got people up there right away before anybody else did. And they got what you would call a scoop, if you like to read Superman comic books. So they got everybody on this. They got ahead of everybody on this. And so he was right there watching. He saw Lennon on the ground, you know, before they took his body away. And you know somebody who was up by there that time, don't you?
Well, yes. Our dear friend Lulu of the far south was taking care of some wee babies. She was an au pair, and she was trying to get home, you know, and she didn't know what had happened. She had been in the park, and she came out that way and everything was blocked off. They had the sawhorses and Yoko Ono was out in front of the Dakota and she saw her trying to get through with the baby and she, you know, had the cops move the sawhorses so she could continue on her way. I hope I told it right, Lulu.
Yeah, I also saw John Lennon and Yoko Ono once when he was alive. And the Gay Activist Alliance, which I was a part of, had held a sort of little micro street fair. They were selling some little thing. It didn't even take up the whole block of Worcester Street. It was just like right in front of the GAA firehouse, the Gay Activist Alliance firehouse. And, you know, so they did this stuff and it went on for some hours. And then it was finally over and stuff was put away. And I was sitting across the street from the firehouse. And this, in those days, that area was still a very commercial area. It was full of all sorts of places that had trucks going in and out and things. But this was on, I think it was on a Sunday. And so I was sitting on what had been a loading dock, and Gay Activist Alliance was kind of pioneering changing the loft scene at that point in time, and people were buying lofts and stuff like that, and the GAA firehouse was bought by somebody for $12,000. 99 Worcester Street went for 12 grand, and they got that back because they charged GAA, I think it was $1,200 a month, which was a gigantic amount of money in, what was that, 1971, I think. And so we had this thing, and I'm sitting across the street. The whole street fair thing is over. I'm just sitting there, and up the street comes walking John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and there's a guy in back of him. I suspect he was Heat. And so I said, "Hello, John." And he said, "Hello." I didn't say hello to Yoko. I was just seeing John. And so that was it. That was my interaction with John Lennon, the one I had in my life. And then they just kept on walking through there. But, yeah, that was the one time I saw them. And he looked just like him, and she looked just like her. But he's, you know, this is... It's terrible that he was assassinated, and he would probably be a good voice for peace in these days. And there's one song of his that is played a lot and is especially played around now when we remember his being assassinated. And we're going to play it for you here. It's the unadulterated version. There are some people who cut parts of it out because, unlike Pickles and myself, they adhere to superstitions. But this is the whole thing, and it's John and Yoko. And, well, it's John singing, but it's the John and Yoko plastic band, whatever it was called. This is their first try at this. So... here we go, a little tribute to John Lennon.
Yeah.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And Norman Lear died this week. He died at the age of 101. That was a pretty good run. And I note that he outlived and survived Henry Kissinger. Yes, Henry Kissinger lived to be a mere 100. And he died last week. And Norman Lear got to be a year older, and he died this week. So he beat Henry Kissinger out on 2 different counts. And he certainly did change things for TV. And he brought up a lot of issues that people weren't afraid to talk about for a while. He wasn't always perfect on gay issues, and we complained about that. We probably informed him a bit about some of this stuff, and he got better at things. And so there it was. I remember there was one Archie Bunker one All in the Family episode where this the butchest guy Archie knows turns out to be gay. And, oh, Archie is like flabbergasted by this. And it was we thought it was a very positive episode. And so, yeah, he did that. On the other hand, we also had Sanford and Son, which had some rather not good anti-gay stuff. Of course, that's partly because one of the actors ended up becoming some anti-gay evangelical preacher. Anyway, so, yeah, he changed things, and he lived to be 101 years old, did a lot of stuff. And he outlived Henry Kissinger. Well, Donnie Bonespur Trump is in the news some more. He likes that. He's claiming that his federal election interference case should be automatically put on hold for as long as it takes him to appeal a judge's rejection of his claim of blanket immunity. He says he's totally immune to any prosecution. This is an amazing legal concept. I am above the law. And he just has this strategy of delaying everything. That's what the whole deal is. One of Trump's lawyers, a guy named Todd Blanche, asserts in a filing that, quote, the appeal has deprived this court of jurisdiction over this case in its entirety, pending resolution of the appeal, unquote. And that, quote, therefore, a stay of all further proceedings is mandatory and automatic, unquote. Yeah, Jesus, talk about being a pushy attorney. Ugh. And the lawyer, that same lawyer, says that, quote, Trump will proceed based on that understanding, absent further order of the court, unquote. Well, I hope the judge issues an order saying, nonsense. We're going to go ahead with this, and if you win your appeal, something will happen. Otherwise, we're going ahead because I think we can all see your delaying tactics here. Yeah, dilatory strategy. So this really sounds like a 4-year-old having a tantrum trying to get his way. I want it my way. Well, no, you can't do it that way. I want it my way. He hasn't grown past the age of 4, I think. That's about it. Judge Chutkan ruled last week that Trump cannot claim blanket immunity for crimes committed while he was president. Very interesting legal concept. He's above the law while he's president. That would mean, of course, that Biden could simply have him executed right now, and he would have to say, yeah, Biden was right, and there's nothing you can do about it. I don't think he'd agree with that, but, you know, he's not consistent. And, yeah, this is some stuff. And the judge is pointing out that a president is not, quote, a king, unquote. She ruled that the trial will start on March 3rd, 2024. Trump tried to claim the same thing about immunity during his civil trials, and the federal appeals courts have all rejected that claim. So I think we could see that they're going to reject this claim too. And a three-judge panel of the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals backed Judge Tanya Chutkan's order barring Trump from making statements about witnesses in the upcoming trial. The unanimous ruling said, quote, Trump's public statements pose a significant and imminent threat to the fair and orderly adjudication of the ongoing criminal proceeding, unquote. They did, however, say that Trump could continue his attacks on special counsel Jack Smith. Yeah, I'm sure he's glad about that. And Trump says he's going to appeal this ruling also all the way up to the Supreme Court. Well, we'll see how that works out. I think maybe his Supreme Court, and it's largely his Supreme Court, it's certainly a right-wing Supreme Court, I think even they would have a bit of shame about saying, yeah, the president is above the law and can do anything. There's nothing he can do about it. Because by that logic, then Biden could say, fine, I will now send in somebody to kill everybody in the Supreme Court. And they'd have to say, well, we agree, you can do that. As they die. So, yeah, I think they're going to reject Trump's idea. Meanwhile, a group of New York State senators has sent a letter to the State Board of Elections demanding that Trump be removed from the ballots for the Republican primary election and the presidential election because of his violation of the Constitution's, quote, insurrectionist disqualification clause, unquote. The Daily News reports that the letter says, quote, the January 6th insurrection was a violent uprising against the United States that tragically resulted in loss of multiple lives. That dark day in our nation's history was led, facilitated, and encouraged by Trump. The board must not allow those who participated to run again for office against the mandate of the Constitution. Therefore, with the urgency of an approaching primary election, we urge the board to address this critical issue now and ensure Trump's name does not appear on the New York ballot. Unquote. Yeah, he probably did violate that clause of the Constitution, but I wonder if it's a good idea to try this. There are people in other states who might try to remove Biden from the ballot in those states, saying, you know, I don't know, his son is under indictment, so therefore he can't run, which is like as much of a stretch as Trump saying he's above the law for everything. And if this try to remove Trump from the ballots works, if they do it, you can count on it happening to future candidates as well. So I don't know. I think he sort of does deserve it. But on the other hand, do we want to, you know, give this atomic bomb to everybody? Here's a little something from Quick Hits from the December 2023 Scientific American. It says, quote, a previously unknown Indo-European language spoken 3,000 years ago was discovered on a clay tablet at Bagojkoy Hattusa, the site of the ancient capital of the Hittite Empire. Researchers believe the text documents a foreign religious ritual of interest to Hittite scribes, unquote. So this was, I think it's not Hittite. I think it's the foreign thing, the foreign language to the Hittites that's in this tablet. I guess they know what it is, so they must be able to somehow read it. But it's interesting, a language from 3,000 years ago that nobody'd known existed before they now have some writing from it. Good grief. The Hittites were a famous group. They're the people who introduced the ancient Egyptians to iron. The hard way. Because the ancient Egyptians, they were always fighting wars, just as they are today. And the ancient Egyptians were still in the Bronze Age, and they were using bronze. And the Hittites showed up with iron swords and other things. And, oh boy, the Egyptians had a hard time with that, because iron beats bronze in a battle. Oh, well. Yeah, interesting that there can be these things that are so old like that. Gee whiz.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Whoops! Uh-oh. The BAI pitching train has just struck Santa's reindeer. Reindeer guts all over the tracks. Well, we'll have to do something about that. What we'll have to do is pitch. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we're here telling you that this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial, WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored. It's not a slogan. It's not a slogan. It's for real. We are sponsored by you, the listeners. That's why you don't hear us selling toothpaste and cars and other crappy stuff on the air as commercials. What we do is we ask you to sponsor us by pledging. The way you pledge is you call 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, you tell them, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is what we call a sustaining membership in WBAI. What that means is that you would be donating to WBAI on a monthly basis. And when you call up 1-212-209-2950 and you tell them, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy, they will ask you your credit card or debit card information, and then they will ask you how much you would like to donate every month. You can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you can afford it. And, you know, you could do that. And that will help us out. We need to get more sustaining members. Part of what happens here is that management needs to be able to predict and rely on regular money coming in. And the method of pitching and getting it all in a lump sum, that's kind of dicey, especially at various times of the year when things get thin. Also, if you make a donation to WBAI, it's tax deductible. It's a very important thing. And so, yes, call 1-212-209-2950 to become a BAI buddy. And say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's good to say the name of this radio program, because then we might get credit for it. And it's important that, one, this program gets credit for it, because we do have listeners and we need to show management we have listeners. And two, it also shows that the overnight programs have listeners, because management and some other people think nobody listens to this overnight stuff. And we know that you do. And yes, it's after 5 o'clock in the morning right now, but we're gone by 6. So midnight to 6 a.m. is the overnight time here at BAI and just about everywhere else. And so we have these different kinds of programs on from midnight to 6. And You don't hear them everywhere else. And one of the things that's been proposed is to help BAI make money by renting out the signal between midnight and 6 a.m. That'd wipe out all the overnight programs. And that would help whoever the hell is going to rent stuff out for that amount of time. And also, they could even be commercial radio stations or commercial something else, because BAI is in the commercial band of the radio, of the FM band. So they could run commercials. The deal is, we need you to help us out. We need you to help us to avoid that, to avoid the overnight programs being wiped out. You do that by calling 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. As I said, you can pledge to do $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month or more. And also, they'll ask you what day of the month you would like your credit card or debit card charged. And you'll tell them when it's convenient for you. Because, you know, sometimes it can run into something else and you don't want the card charged, especially a debit card. You want it to be charged when you know there's going to be money in there. And for a credit card also, you might want to be able to put off the payment, so maybe you'll get it late in the month and, you know, you won't have to pay as up front for it. Instead of having to have it on one particular credit card bill, you'll have it on the next bill. At least that'll work out for the first one. And every credit card after that, you'll get a charge. You can also do a one-time donation by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying that, yes, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Again, that's 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, you get commentary and music and all sorts of stuff on these overnight programs. And gee whiz, you're not getting exactly this kind of thing every place else. So 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. We need to hear from you. 1-212-209-2950. Hop on board the WBAI pitching train right now and say, yeah, you wanna keep Back of the Book on WBAI and you wanna keep WBAI alive. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please call us at that number now. We really would appreciate it. That's been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, Again with David Kenny.
And again, we'll be back here in 2 weeks. We're preempted next week for a fundraising special. And yeah, you know, let all that holiday stuff and the bright lights and stuff go on, and let it cheer you up if you can. That's what it's for. It's not for any superstitious stuff. People do this all over the place.
And for those of you celebrating Hanukkah, enjoy yourselves. Have many, many delicious latkes.
And above all, remember what that December twilight-enjoying Dormouse said.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation Board, responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next regular meeting on Wednesday, December 13th at 7 p.m. This is when newly elected LSB members will be seated. The public meeting will be held on Zoom and includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar at kpftx.org and on the WBAI website, wbai.org. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. The number again, 929-205-6099, and enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. That ID again, 922-457-2995. And the password is 995-995-99. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, December 13th at 7 p.m. We hope you'll join us.
Hey, good people. It's Frenchie Davis, your sexual abolitionist, and I'm on the air every Saturday from 12 to 1 p.m. But tomorrow, we have a special fundraising segment from 11 to 1 o'clock. That's right. We have an extra hour for a juicy, heart-throbbing, salacious, delicious conversation, and it's all about battle of the sexes. We're talking about myths and mistruths that men and women do not understand about each other. I have a panel of sexperts, sexologists, sex date coaches. We're going to get it all out in the open. You'll definitely want to tune in from 11 to 1 o'clock. And if you want to catch us live, you can even catch us on the actual Zoom and come in the room with us firsthand. We have some great giveaways, some premiums. You won't want to miss this event, and I can't wait to hear from you. Hope you tune in tomorrow from 11 to 1. That's Saturday, December 9th, 2023. We're going out this year with a bang. See you then, your sexual abolitionist.
Muddy, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you. I wonder whatever became of me. Saturday.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We'd kill ourselves!
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater,